All right, Tabo said good morning. Today's daf. Today's daf is Yud Beis. We're picking up actually on Yud Aleph Amud Beis. So again, today's daf is 12. We're picking up 11b. And we're picking up actually in the middle of a discussion over here between was Rav Huna, Rav Yitzchak, Bar Yosef were sitting before Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah was kind of dozing a little bit over the course of the conversation. And the conversation went essentially like this. The conversation said that based on our Mishnah, actually, the conversation was a concept of Hatofis Labalchov. So Tofis Labalchov, remember again, we began to explain this like this, means that, let's say for argument's sake, I borrow money from Reuven. So I owe Reuven $1,000, and then what happens? One of Reuven's friends happens to see that my watch is sitting on the table. So he knows, again, I owe Reuven the money. Let's say now the loan has become due. So the friend of Reuven wants to seize my watch in order to go ahead and pay the debt. So they're having this discussion, again, Rav Huna and Rav Yitzchak, and they say that you see from the Mishnah that Atofis Labalchov Mutter, that you're permitted to go ahead and seize property for the benefit of a creditor. Now, Bosa, where does that come from in the Mishnah? Where that comes from in the Mishnah is, remember, again, everyone is agreeing that Lamaisa, again, once the master gives a shtash, a get shichrer, that's what? That he can't renege, which essentially means, according to Rashi, that the shaliach is acquiring the get on behalf of the Eved Kenani. And you now, why is that? Because again, it's considered to be a zuchus, it's considered to be a benefit for the Eved Kenani. Therefore, the shaliach is acquiring it from the hands of the Adon. Therefore, as soon as the Adon places it in the hands of the shaliach, the Eved Kenani essentially is emancipated, and the Adon does not have the ability to renege on the shtar. So the Gemara, so we'll say that's where we left off. So the Gemara says, this is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines up from the bottom. Here's interesting. Let's complicate this a little bit more. So remember, let's say in a case of Hatofis Lebalchov, so again, same case, I borrowed money from Reuven. The debt is now, do I owe Reuven $1,000? I happen to have a nice $1,000 watch. It's standard in the Rabbonus. I'm just saying. It's, you know. So I have $1,000 watch. So what happens? So Reuven's friend seizes it. But let's say I also happen to owe Shimon money. So now when Reuven's friend seizes the watch, it's true he's benefiting Reuven, but he's putting Shimon at a disadvantage because Shimon's also owed $1,000, and now Shimon can't collect from the watch. So what about, again, I will say that's called Hatofes Labalchov B'makom Shechav La'achirim. So Amalei in. He said, yes, even in that case, the tfisa, the seizure, ultimately, again, is going to be valid. Sadahachi itar behu Rabbi Yirmiyah. So in the midst of this conversation, Rabbi Yirmiyah comes to, right? He wakes up. Amarle dardiki. Now the Gemara says, dafki was misnamning. You know, misnamning, the Gemara Maseches Megillah says, it's nim velo nim, tir velo tir, kor leva'one. So it's asleep but not asleep, awake but not awake. If you ask someone a question, they could answer. The point is, Rabbi Yirmiyah heard everything that was going on. See, he wakes up, so to speak, and he says, my children, hachi am Rabbi Yochanan, hatofis lebalchov b'makum shechav l'achirim lo kana. It's not how we pass. Can we pass? Can Allah Chalamai? So we'll say that's what? That if you go ahead and you seize property from a debtor in a place where that debtor has multiple creditors, that seizure, in fact, is not halachically appropriate. Now, the logic behind that is because you can't seize on behalf of one creditor when it puts another creditor at a disadvantage. Now, I want to be clear. This is all talking about, these are cases where someone else is seizing on behalf of the creditor. The creditor himself is absolutely permitted to seize property, even if there are other creditors. The idea is if I'm acting on someone else's behalf, I can act on someone else's behalf as long as my actions don't disadvantage another individual who also has a financial interest. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says, that's how we paskin. So ve'im tar mishnah senu. What about our mishnah? Now, I will say, our mishnah seems to be a case of hatofes lebalchov b'makom shechav la'achirim. How so? Because we'll say, remember, let's play this out. The adon, the master, gives the get shechrer for his eved to the shaliach. So now, what are we saying? The shaliach acquires that on behalf of the eved immediately. But by the shaliach acquiring the get shechrer on behalf of the eved immediately, who's put at a disadvantage? the Adon. And yet, again, the Mishnah says that that works. So isn't that not a case of Hatolfis l'balchov b'makum shechav l'achirim? So Rabbi Yirmiyah says, now you're going to tell me the Mishnah, it's different. Kala omer tenu k'omer zachudami. So Rabbi will say, when the Adon said tenu, shtar shechor, get shechor zela avdi, so tenu in halacha is the equivalent of zachu. When you tell the shaliach, go ahead and give this get to my eved, that is the equivalent of saying, acquire it on his behalf. And once you make that statement, then by definition, again, the shaliach has acquired it on behalf of the eved, and therefore the adon can no longer go ahead and reverse course. He can never go back. If you go ahead and you seize property for a creditor, you seize property from the debtor to go ahead and give to the creditor in a place where that same debtor has other responsibilities towards other creditors. So therefore, you're putting the other creditors at a disadvantage. We come to this machlokas Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanan. This is really a very interesting case. Mishalikate peya. Supposed to listen to this. Remember, peya, the halacha is you have to leave a corner of your field for the aniyim. So imagine somebody collected peya, and what happened? Va'amar harezu l'ploni. Supposed to listen to this case. I'm collecting peya. Let's say, Baruch Hashem, I don't need the peya. But I'm collecting it on behalf of my friend who's an ani. So I say, I'm collecting this peya for Reuven. So what's the halacha? So we'll say, now the shayla is, I'm collecting peya on behalf of someone else. So remember, that is a case, technically, afatofes lebalchov, because remember, the ani is the balchov, the ani is the creditor, because that peya is owed to him, but what? It's b'makom shechav la'achirim. Why is it b'makom shechav la'achirim? Because again, that peya is also equally, the other aniyim are also equally entitled to it. So when I'm seizing it for Reuven, that's very nice, but I'm putting Shimon, Levi, Yud, and all the other aniyim at a disadvantage. So what's the halacha? Rabbi Eliezer Omer Zochalo. Rabbi Eliezer says that I acquire it on his behalf. The chacham say yitnenu la'ani hanim sarishon. Interesting. The chachamim say you have to give it to the first ani you could find. You can't keep it. So we'll say that appears to be the same machlokes. Rabbi Eliezer will hold that a tofes the balchov b'makom shachav la'achirim lo kana, and on the other hand, chacham will say kana. I'm sorry, just the opposite. Rabbi Elazar says kana, and the chum will say lo kana. So the Gemara says, I'm gonna make me retain my papa top of your bays, dilmalohi. Perhaps that's actually not their machlokas. At kando kama Rabbi Eliezer Hassam. Ela demigo di by mafkulun chase vahavile ani vichazile. So also listen to this. Maybe the reason Rabbi Eliezer holds that lemaisa. I can acquire peya on behalf of another ani, is why, since technically speaking, about say, if I were to be mafkir, if I were to make all of my property hefker, so if you make all of your property hefker, then what do you become? You become an ani. And if you become an ani, then what? Then you're entitled to peya. In other words, technically speaking, if you want to cheat the system, there is a way that even if you have money, you could take peya, and that's by being mafkir all of your nechasim. Now, again, that's a little bit of a gamble, because, again, trying the assumption once, right? It works once. Right? That the assumption is, again, if other people hear you, you could actually stand to lose a lot. But technically speaking, Rabbi Elazar says that if you're mafkir all of your property, you become an ani. If you become an ani, you're entitled to the peya. Umigo de zachi lenafshe. Therefore, technically speaking, since you could acquire the peya even for yourself, zachi lechavre. You could acquire it on behalf of your friend as well. Aval hocha. But Rabbi said, in the case of a tofes tabalcho, b'makom shechav la'achirim, I would say lo. That doesn't work. Va'ad kan lo kami rabban and hasam ela dechsev lo silaket la'ani. And furthermore, the Chachamim will say, the reason it doesn't work by the case of Peya is because the Pasuk says, lo silak. Now, it's interesting. The actual Pasuk reads, the way the Pasuk reads is, lo silaket la'ani v'lager tazov osam. Do not collect it yourself. For the ani and for the stranger, you shall leave it. Now, the way the Gemara is dashing this is, lo silaket la'ani. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Don't go ahead. And collect it for the ani. In other words, the drush is what Rabbi say, that peya is something that must be collected by the pauper himself. Somebody else can't collect it on behalf of the pauper. So lo silaket lo ani. Aval hachalo, but perhaps by tofis the balchov, he would actually pass, and then it would work. Fine. Rabbi Elazar, high lo. So we'll say all the Gemara just showed is we thought that the machlokus in Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim by Peah is the same machlokus of Hatofes Labalcho B'moko Shechav La'achirim, and all the Gemara is just demonstrating is that's not necessarily the case. So the Gemara says, by the way, Rabbi Eliezer, Hai lo selaket my avidle, what does Rabbi Eliezer do with the pasuk of lo selaket la'ani, mi boy le lahasir la'ani al shalo? According to Rabbi Eliezer, that pasuk comes to teach us that the ani must leave payah from his own property. That even though the ani is poor, nevertheless, even he has an obligation to go ahead and leave payah as well. Shim yirtzeh shalolos. And so also remember again, the Mishnah discussed the idea that the reason why a get shichrur, the reason why a document of emancipation is considered to be a zechus, ultimately for the slave, is why? Because his master has the ability not to feed him. In other words, that if the master wanted to say to him, I'm not supporting you, the master would have that ability. Therefore, because the eved has no guaranteed support, therefore what? Therefore, lemaisa, we assume that his emancipation is a zechus for him. So says the Gemara, Shema Mina, Shamas Mina, what do we see from here? Rabbi say, this is a very sodistic sugya. We're going to spend a little bit of time on this, because this is actually a fascinating general concept. Shamas Mina, the Gemara says, what do you see from here? Yachol harav lomar le'eved asei imi ve'eni zancha. So we'll say this is amazing, that the master can say to the servant, work for me, and I'm not supporting you. And we'll say, now this to us sounds crazy, right? It's like, you know, showing up for work and saying, I want you to work for me, but I'm not giving you a paycheck, right? So I mean, no matter how much you love your job, right? At the end of the day, right? If there's no paycheck, a person's not showing up. So lemaisa, again, what's interesting over here is the following. The Gemara is saying an eved is different. Why is an eved different? Because an eved is property. An eved is not an employee. An eved is property of the master. And as such, again, the master, technically speaking, has the right to say that, you have to do your work, but I'm not paying you. In other words, you go find your own support. And I will say, now the reason the Gemara arrives at that conclusion is because the Mishnah seems to indicate that it's a schus. I mean, if the master was obligated to support the eved, then what? Then it wouldn't be so pashut that a get shichrur is a zchus. Why? Why? Because you lose material support. It's not so pashut. You see, we'll say, so we think in our minds automatically, of course it's a zchus, you're free. You know, freedom is nice. So is money. So, so meaning there is this balance, ultimately, again, but the fact that it's clear to the Mishnah that emancipation is absolutely a zchus indicates to us that there is no financial liability on the part of the adon to the servant. So the Gemara says, Shamas Mina, learn from me, Yachal Rav Lomar La'eved Asei Miveini Zancha, work for me and I'm not supporting you. To which the Gemara says, no, what's the case? The Mishnah Chamai Askinon, Da Amar Lei, Tsei Ma'asei Yodecha, Limzono Secha. Oh, both said, no, the case of the Mishnah is where the master is saying to the Eved, look, support yourself. You're able, you're capable, just do work, and I'm allowing you to keep some of your earnings to go ahead and support yourself. To which the Gemara says, "Dekavase gabi isha," but there's a parallel case then by the woman as well. The amarle, tse amarla, tse maase yadech b'mzono sech. But yet again, a parallel case would be where the husband tells his wife, again, also we've seen this before as well, that listen, keep your earnings. Remember, a husband is entitled to his wife's earnings. Chazal awarded that to him in recognition that he has to provide her mizonos. But if he says to her, listen, I'm not supporting you, but you keep your own earnings, she could do that as well. To which the Gemara says, "Sima se yadech mizonos sech, isha amaylo." If that's the case, again, if that's the case, why wouldn't this work by isha? To which the Gemara says, "Isha b'delo safka," because the case of the isha in the Mishnah is where her earnings are not enough to support her. So if her earnings are not enough to support her, that's when the husband is absolutely obligated to make up the shortfall or to support her in entirety. Eved nami b'dalo safik. So we'll say, so why can't you set up the case of the Mishnah of an Eved who's able to work, but he does not go ahead and produce enough. He doesn't produce enough to go ahead and support himself, to which the Gemara gives a very interesting answer. Avda dinom karse lo shavye l'mare'u l'marte l'may misboi. An Eved who can't generate enough earnings to provide for his own sustenance, what good is such an Eved to his master and to his mistress? So the Gemara says, Tashma. So we'll say, remember, we're trying just to figure out what the case of the Mishnah is with Eved. Meaning, again, at first glance, it appears that the case of the Mishnah tells us that an Adon has the ability to tell his Eved, Asei imi ve'eni zancha. Work for me, and I'm not supporting you. We're just trying to prove if that assertion is correct or not. Tashma. Eved shegala are miklat. Was another interesting case. If an eved was sent to an ir miklat, eved accidentally kills someone, and he's exiled to an ir miklat, ein rabo chayev lozono. His master is not obligated to support him. V'lo old. Not only that, ela shema'a seyadov l'rabo. This is quite an amazing case. So an eved is sent to an ir miklat. Not only is city of refuge, not only is his master not obligated to support him, but what? Whenever the eved works, he's obligated to send his paycheck back to the adon. So the Gemara says, shmamina yachal harav lomar li eved asemi v'nizancha. What do you see from here? That a master could say to his servant, work for me and I'm not paying you. Ach, I'm asking, and what's the case over here? No, the case over here again is where the master is saying to the eved, work and use your earnings to pay for your mezonos. If that's the case, then why does the Braisa rule that the earnings of the eved from the ir miklat go back to his master? Oh, lahadafa. Tabosa, what does hadafa mean? Hadafa means the extra earnings. In other words, the Tabosa, there are two levels of earnings that you recognize in halacha. There's the basic level of earnings that you need in order to survive, and then there's the additional earnings that a person has above and beyond meeting their expenses. So the Gemara is saying that the case of the Braisa is whatever the Eved needs to support himself, that he's allowed to keep. But any Hadafa, any extra amount, he must send back to the master. Hadafa pshita. But isn't that obvious? I mean, what's the novelty in that? So I would have thought the following. If ultimately, again, if the Eved doesn't have anything to eat, so the master is not obligated to support him. Ki isle nami lo lishko mine. I would have thought that when the Eved does have, even again, additional amounts like Hadafa, that the master would not be entitled to take it. Kamashwalan, that is not the case. Kamashwalan, that halacha lemaisa, again, the case of the Braisa over here is where the master is saying to the Eved, Tzima se'odecha l'mzono secha, support yourself, but any additional amounts above and beyond what the Eved needs to live, ultimately is sent back to the master. Mashna ari miklat. So why do we have? Why does the Braisa choose a case of ir miklat? Sagadai tchamina v'chai, because the pasuk says by ir miklat v'chai, and he should live. So I would have thought avid lechi yusatve. So I might have thought that v'chai by ir miklat means that what? Listen, he's already in the ir miklat. V'chai, let him live a little bit. In other words, that let him keep the hadafa also. Let him keep the additional amounts. Kamashmalan, no. Kamashmalan, the case of the Braisa is where the master is telling his eved, si'i ma'aseh odech l'mzono secha, generate your own earnings, support yourself, but any hadafa, any extra amounts, he has to send home. So, v'hamid iktoni seifa, aval isha shagosa li'ir miklat, bay l'chaim l'mzono secha. But I will say, look at the end of that Braisa. The end of the Braisa is a case of a woman who killed someone accidentally, and she's sent to an ir miklat. So what's the halacha? Her husband is chayiv to support her even when she's in the ir miklat. Michlal de lo amar la. So you said, now we assume that this case over here is not a case of where he said, Tzi'i ma'aseh yadeich limzono seich. Not a case where he's telling her, keep your earnings and support yourself. Di amar la bayla amai chayiv. Because if the husband actually said that to her, why would he be chayiv to support her? Umi de seifa de lo amar la, reishanami lo amar la. And therefore, again, if we're assuming that there's seifa, the second case by the Isha, is where the husband did not say Tzi'i ma'aseh yadeich limzono seich, then what? I want to make the assumption by the Reisha, the first case by the Eved, that he also didn't say this. To which the Gemara says, no, li olam de amar la. It's ultimately a case of where the Adon said Tzi'i ma'aseh yadecha l'mzono secha by the Eved and made the same statement by the Isha. So what's the case then? If that's the case where he said, if he's saying to the wife, use your earnings and support yourself, then why is he obligated to support her? The Isha b'delo safka. The case of the Isha Rabosa is where she doesn't generate enough money to take care of her needs. In that case, the Braisa says that what? That a husband, therefore, is obligated to make up the difference. But yet, Rabosa, the second part of the Braisa explicitly talks about a case where the husband says to his wife, use your earnings to support yourself. Infers to us, or we can infer from that the first part of the Braisa is not referring to that case. This is what it means to say. Rashai. So we'll say what the Braisa means to say is the following. That if the woman earns enough money that she could support herself, the husband does have the right to tell her that what? You keep your earnings and support yourself from your earnings. So the Gemara says, Rashai, I'm sorry, Rashai, Misapek Ismail Memra. So we'll say, so what's the chiddush in that? Obviously, we already know that if a woman earns enough money that she could support herself, that the husband has the right to tell her, use your earnings to support yourself. What's the chiddush? But it's actually amazing. What would I have thought? Kol kivod abas hamelech pnima. So I might have thought that literally all of the honor of the daughter of the king is inside. Rabbi say this concept of kol kivod abas hamelech pnima is part of the greater overall paradigm that we have of tznius. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says pnima tznua ve'en darka lot seis ulasavev beir. So listen to this. I might have thought that, remember, where is this taking place? All this taking place in an ir miklat. So, you know, when she's in her home and people know her, she's able to generate parnasa because the townspeople know her. Now she's in a new place, what's going to happen? No one knows her, which means that she's going to have to go around town trying to solicit business. She's going to have to build herself up. So I might have thought that perhaps we would not require her to compromise her dignity, to compromise her tznius by having to go around in a foreign place. Kamash malano, the husband still has the right to tell her, that you generate your own earnings and support yourself. Obviously, I will say the caveat to this is that whatever the shortfall is, the husband is obligated to make that up. So we'll say this is machlokes tanoi. Reb Shimon Gamliel Amar Yachala Evel Amar L'Rabo B'Sheni B'Tzuras. So we'll say, listen to this. Reb Shimon Gamliel says. Now remember, we're focusing on one major question here. The one major question is, does a master have a right to tell the servant, "Asei imi ve'eni zancha"? That's the fundamental question. Does a master have the right to say to a servant, "I want you to work for me, but I'm not. Not I want you to work for me. Work for me. You're my property, and I'm not supporting you. You're on your own, but I want your earnings still." Does a master have the right to say that? So the Gemara says, let's say this machlokes tanaim. What's the case? Yachala eved. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, Yachala eved lomar l'rabo b'sheni b'tzuras. An eved has the right to tell his master. B'sheni b'tzuras means in the midst of a famine, during years of a famine. O parnasani o hotziani l'cheiros. Either support me, or free me. Support me or free me or emancipate me. And the chum say no, the master doesn't have to yield to either of those ultimatums. The master could do whatever he wants, which Abosai seems to mean that even during years of a famine, a master could say, "Asei imi ve'eni zancha. Work for me and I'm not supporting you." My love, Bakum Efligi, what are they arguing about? The mar sava yachol, umar sava eni yachol. So we'll say the machlokes seems to be, the Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying that a master can't say to his eved, "Asei imi ve'eni zancha," when the chum is saying, "Yes, he can." So the if that's the case, then I will say, why is it that according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, the ultimatum is either support me or emancipate me? It should be, O Parnasani, O Tingli Maase Yadai Be Parnasasi. It shouldn't be either support me or emancipate me. It should be what? Either support me or allow me to keep my own earnings in order to go out and support myself. To which the Gemara says, V'od, Mashna B'Sheni B'Tzuras. Furthermore, why does the Brisa set up a case over here as what? As dealing with a famine. I mean, what does it matter if it's a famine or it's not a famine? You will say, the Eved has to eat, whether it's a famine or it's not a famine. What's the pshat? So the Gemara says, El HaCham Askim, this is really interesting. What's the case over here? The Amar Lo Tsei Maasei Adecha L'mzono Secha. But say, the case over here is where the Adon is saying to the servant, support yourself, keep your earnings, and support yourself. And what happens? Now it's years of famine, and the servant doesn't generate enough money to support himself. Now the shayla is, what do we do? Reb Shimon Gamliel Savar, O Parnasani Hotzian L'Cheiros. So Reb Shimon Gamliel says that the servant has the right to tell the master. Remember, the servant in this case is already keeping his earnings. It's not enough. So master, listen, either support me, make up the shortfall, or what? Or emancipate me, or free me, and then I'll figure it out on my own. So we'll say, listen to this. Now, you have to ask yourself, what's the chap of emancipation? Meaning, what more is he going to get? Meaning, what more money is he going to get being emancipated? And the answer is, I'll have a better chance of getting tzedakah as a free man than as an eved. Which, what's the logic behind that? Because remember, an eved is only quasi-Jewish. I say quasi-Jewish because remember, again, it's like a partial conversion. An emancipated eved kenani becomes a full-fledged Jew. So release me. Release me, free me. I'll be a full-fledged Jew. At least, again, I'll be part of the community and I'll be entitled to things. The Rabbanon Savi, the Rabbanon say, Man demerachim abnechari a'eved nami rachumi rachim. Both say, this is actually a very profound statement. The Rabbanon say, the same people who have compassion on free men also have compassion on servants. Let's say it's an incredible yisod by the Rabbanon are saying that empathy and compassion are traits. Traits, true traits, ultimately apply to all people. Meaning, I will say, that's why, again, you know, you see this, that there are some people that they like to pride themselves that they're honest in their business dealings with Jews. But when it comes to Gentiles, you know, mamish, it's okay. It's the goyim, as you often hear. So it was like, you know, so klal gadol is anyone who is dishonest in business with one segment of people will come to be dishonest in business with all people. So what the Rabbanon are arguing is someone who possesses empathy, someone who possesses compassion, that empathy and that compassion is going to devolve upon the Eved Kenani in the same way ultimately that it's going to devolve upon the Jew, which is just quite an interesting idea. But Rabbanon says, fine. So Tashma, to Amarav, Hamakdish de Abdo Osa Eved Lobava Ochava Osa Oparea. So we'll say, listen to this. This is another interesting case. Someone consecrates the hands of his Eved. So we'll say, he's Makdish, he consecrates the hands. Now what does that mean? He consecrates the hands. So we'll say, obviously, you can't physically consecrate the hands of the Eved, the earnings. Whatever the Eved generates from those hands, ultimately again will be Kodesh. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? Ha Eved Lobava Ochel. So we'll say, so here's the interesting issue. The interesting issue over here is, see, whatever the Eved earns, by definition, becomes hekdish. So how does the Eved support himself? He essentially borrows, he takes a big loan. And that loan he uses to support himself. And he pays off that loan. So he works off that loan. So Shmamina, we'll explain the dynamics in that in just a moment. Shmamina, Yachal Rav Lomar Li Eved, Asi Mi Veini Zoncha. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that a master could say to his Eved, work for me and I'm not supporting you. Hachamai Askinon, what's the case here? Bema'ala Lo Mizonos. So we'll say the case over here is where what? Where the master is supporting him. Ihachi, if that's the case, then Amud Beis. Lamai Lava. So why does the Eved need to borrow anything? Lamai Lava Va'ochel. Lahad Dafa. I will say, because remember, the master is only providing him with basic support. The Eved wants a little bit more, and for that additional amount, he's borrowing money. V'leimalei Hegdish. Ad hashtalo sagi l'chabalo hadafa, v'hashtanami sagi tiski l'chabalo hadafa. So why can't Hekdish, so to speak, say to the Eved, look, you got by without the additional amounts until now. You don't need the additional amounts going forward either. To which the Gemara says, no. Hekdish gufei nechale, ki hechi dileshabeach avdei. So we'll say, remember, for Hekdish, it's in their best interest that the Eved has this hadafa, additional amounts. Why? Because we'll say, the more the Eved eats, the stronger he becomes, and the more his output is, which means the more that Hegdish benefits. So the Gemara says, Oso Porea. So now also remember, how did the Mishnah say? So remember how the Braisa read. So master is Makdish, the hands of his Eved. He's going ahead. The case that we've set up is the master is supporting his Eved. But yet the Eved took out a loan from someone else for Adafa for additional amounts. How does he pay off the loan? He works off the loan. Asks the Gemara, how could he work off the loan? Oso Porea. Kama Kaddishlei. But also remember, every amount of money that he generates through his actions is what? Is Hekdish. So by definition, how could he ever pay back the loan? To which the Gemara says something very interesting. The pachos mishave pruta. So we'll say, so what he can do is, he could work in units of less than a shave pruta. In other words, that remember, Hekdish only devolves upon something that is of significance, which means the work or the action has to be at least worth a shava pruta. So what he could do is, it might take a little while, but he could work off the debt towards the person ultimately who he borrowed money from by doing increments of work that are each less than a shava pruta. And if he does that again, then the work itself, the earnings, never becomes hegdish, and he's able to pay off the debt like that. Hachanayim, Stavra, this appears to be clear. The Amarav, Hamakdish, the Abdo, Osa, Eved, Oseva, Ochel. Because Rabosei Rav said that someone who consecrates the hands of his Eved, the Eved is Oseva, Ochel. He works and he's able to eat. The Ilo Avda, Man Palichle. Because if he doesn't work, who's going to support him? I Amrit Bishlama, Hach, Bema'ale, Ve'ino Yachol, Vahabish, Ino Ma'ale. So Rabosei, so remember again, in this case, let me actually read that a little bit clearer. In this case, Rav is bringing down another case. Rav is saying that if someone is makdish the hands of his Eved, that Eved is Ose v'ochel. That Eved is Ose v'ochel. He works, and he's able to eat. Because if he doesn't work, the ilo Eved man pachli, look at Rashi, sheme achar shein osin lo ma'achal, ma yochel ha'Eved hazeh, mi yavdenu, mi yizami lo mezonos. Because if the Eved doesn't work, how is he going to eat? To which the Gemara says, now let's analyze this. So we'll say, if you say that this case is dealing with a situation of what? B'ma'ala, where the master is supporting the Eved, ve'eno yachol. Right? Ultimately, again, and therefore the master is unable to say, and the other cases where the master is not supporting him. So the first price is talking about a case where the master is not supporting him. First case is talking about a case where the master is supporting him. Second price is talking about a case where the master is not supporting him. Ela I amrit hach. But if you want to say that the first case, b'she'eno ma'ala, where the master is not supporting his eved, v'yachol, and the master is able to say, asei mi veni zancha, di'ilo avda, if he does not work, man palichle, man diboy niflechei. Rabbi says, see from here that what? That it must be that the case is that a master is unable to say to his Eved, Aseimi veini zancha. Tashma, Dom Rabbi Yochanan, Hakotea yad avdo shachavero. Let's listen to this case. If I cut off the hand of the Eved of my friend, I cut off the hand of the Eved of my friend. So what's the halacha? No sin shifta urufu asol rabo. So let's remember, when you damage someone, so there are five different categories of damages that you have to pay. Right now, we're not going to talk about all of them. We'll just talk about some of them. So sheves is lost wages. Lost wage, bless you. Refu'aso, ripui, is medical bills. So we'll say, so if I go ahead and I cut off the hand of my friend's Eved, so what happens? I have to give the lost wages and the medical bills, those amounts, l'rabo, to his master. Ba'osa ha'eved nizon minatzdoka. And that Eved, the Eved can't work now, so how is he supported? He's supported from tzedakah. Shema mina, what do we see from here? Yachal harav, lomar li Eved, aseimi veni zancha. That a master has the ability to say to his Eved, work for me, and I'm not going to pay you. To which goes, well, so that's, again, we're inferring that from the fact that it says he's supported from tzedakah, that again, the master doesn't have an obligation of support. Ihachi, amai nizon laz, I'm sorry. What's the case? No, b'ma'ala lo mezonos. The case of Rabbi say no, is where the master is supporting the Eved. So then why does the Braisa say that he's supported from tzedakah? Oh, lahad dafa. For additional amounts, meaning the master is only obligated to pay him for basic support, but lemaisa, again, if the Eved wants something more that comes from tzedakah, ihachi nizon misparnes mi boyle. If that's the case, then use a different lashon. Rabbi say nizon. What's the difference between nizon and misparnes, even though they sound synonymous? Nizon refers to mizonos, basic support. Misparnes is additional amount. So it shouldn't say nizon minatzdaka. What should it say? Misparnes minatzdaka. Elav shmamina yachol shmamina. Rather, again, it must be a case of what? Where the Adon, in fact, is saying to his Eved, Aseimi ve'eni zancha. No, I want you to work for me and I'm not supporting you. And that's why the Braisa says what? Nizon minatzdaka. Because what does nizon actually mean? He's actually going to be supported, basic support from tzedakah itself. Shmamina. Indeed, this is the case. Amr Mar, no sin shift over refuas al rabo. So, we'll remember again, we said in the Braisa, that if I cut off the hand of my friend's Eved, I give the sheves and the ripui, lost wages and medical expenses to the master. Shift up shita. I understand why the master gets lost wages, because obviously the lost wages are impacting the master. Rifu also itzrichale. So we'll say, so what about rifu? Why should I give the medical expenses to the master? Rifu also didehi debay istriebe. We'll say the assumption is who should get the money for the medical expenses? Should go to the Eved, because the Eved has to get better. To which the Gemara says, "Lo tzricha da'amdu alecha mishayomi." No, the difference over here, Abba says, that what happened? They told them Eved that he needs a regimen. Is that the he needs a regimen, a medical of 5 days. He needs a 5-day treatment. But they gave him a more concentrated dose, literally a harsher remedy, but he was healed within 3 days. So what would you have thought? Sara didehu. I might have thought Rabbo said that what's going to happen? The tsar, that the money for the tsar that he had to endure because of the accelerated treatment ultimately should go to the Eved. Kamash molon, no. Kamash molon, that ultimately that goes to the Adon. So we'll say, we're going to stop over here for today. I just want to show you, we're not finished yet. I just want to share with you the halacha, because it actually is halacha l'maisa. So the Shulchan Aruch, Paskins, and Yaradeh Simin Reish Samech Zayin, the following halacha. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Shulchan Aruch writes, Yochol harav lomer liavdo. Again, it's not so halacha lemaisa, but it, you know, yochol harav lomer liavdo. They both say the halacha is that a master could say to his eved, work for me and I am not going to go ahead and support you. Master has that right. However, this is actually a very interesting distinction. That's true as long as what? It's the man's. If it's my eved, I have the right. My eved is my property, and I could say to him, I'm working, you're working for me, you're my property, and I'm not obligated to pay you. However, Abosai, if the eved is not mine, but rather it's nichsei mulug, which means it's property that was brought in by my wife to the marriage, then what? I'm obligated to sustain the eved. Now, that's not a din by the eved. What is that a din of? That's a din of nichsei mulug. That's a din general that a husband has an obligation to go ahead and look out for and try to maintain property that his wife brought into the marriage. So again, the Shulchan actually goes on. He quotes that I'm over here. Yesh omrim had yachal omer eini zancha haynukisha shonim kitikun avashas suras shem rachamin alav lo. So the Ramah says one exception to this, which is during years of famine. During years of famine, the Ramah says that a master must absolutely go ahead and support his eved, because there's a concern about said that in a time of famine, when there are so many in need, the eved may be kicked down to the lowest rung of support, that he will be the last person that anyone has rachmanis on. So you see again that the halacha does not subscribe to the shita of the Rabbanon, that people have compassion, empathy, on all people. It's not true. Compassion, empathy is also often channeled towards certain people. And again, sometimes the halacha demands that. So if it's time in which it's famine, then a person should go ahead and support their eved. So we'll say that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Let me just share with you just a brief thought on the parasha, and then we'll stop.